Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 366. My name is John Morgan. Cold coffee is with me. That's if you hear the extra little excitement in my voice, maybe an extra little flavor in there. I mean, it's partly because we've got a bottle of whiskey open.
That's yes,
part.
It is.
But the other part is I'm back with cold coffee. I appreciate the remote shows and the multiple edit shows from multiple locations where I thought I was going to have to knock somebody out.
It's
you know, we got things going on, but there's nothing better than just being what the show is supposed to be, and that is John Morgan and cold coffee sitting down, having some frosty beverages and some whiskey. And talking about some MMA and whatever else. So it's good to see you back, my man.
It is good to be back. And it's good to be back with the Duke. Thank you, Duke Whiskey. Legendary Duke Whiskey. No, man, it does feel good, man. It's funny that trip to Columbus, man, while it was only like a week and a half, feels like it took a lot longer. And then.
Well, that's sure. Okay, you can pour me some more.
Should I pour you more? Do I have a nipple anywhere in this house?
Wow. Look, I mean,
you did say that you were going to sip on it.
I'm going to sip the whiskey. Sip the whiskey.
You don't want to just rush
it. You got to understand, I'm in a position in my career right now.
Where you're working more than
there ain't no sleeping in. There ain't, hey, I had a couple drinks, so I'm going to hang out a little bit, get some rest. No.
What's your average work day?
Oh,
well, all right, I guess we should preface that because, one, we've always been overworkers anyways.
We
always work way above the thing. But in terms of, like, now you have no one to stop you from kind of keep working,
right?
You know, because you know that it only benefits you to work much as you can.
The only thing that's stopping me from working all the time is my family. You know what I mean? And not that they're actively stopping me, just that I don't
want... Because they understand.
I don't want to, like, not be around them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And especially, I've got a lot of travel coming up, too. And so basically what I do is I wake up in the morning, usually around, like, 7 a.m. I just check in, make sure there's nothing crazy going on. I mean, the good thing is, like... Right now, I'm not in the big breaking news game. So, I mean, I don't have to be like Johnny on the spot right now. Let's get the post up right away, immediately, that sort of thing. You know, we've got a little bit more flow to it. So that part's nice. But then it's get the kid off to school, you know. So I kind of check in on things, make sure nothing's, you know, make sure the website is still working, basically, you know. And I just don't, you know, if you wake up in the morning and it's not working, we need to do something. But as long as it's working. And I'll have tried to make sure there's some content set up for myself in the morning, you know.
Then I'll get my kid
off to school, and then at that point the grind starts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it's just nonstop. Doing a lot more interviews now.
I was going to say, you've been doing a lot of interviews. A
lot more interviews.
I forgot I subscribed that day because I wanted to chat on your live stream.
Oh, right.
So I keep getting notified when I open up YouTube, like, of these interviews. I was like, man, look at all these interviews.
Doing a lot more interviews, man. Because I got to create content.
You know
what I mean? I got to create unique content. I mean, that's the whole thing, is I am not going to be able to keep up with the staff of MMA Junkie, the staff of MMA Fighting. So I've got to create some unique content on my own. So, yeah, that's why I didn't. That's why I was.
We're drinking now.
But what I'm trying to do, though, basically, is what I'm trying to do is balance that, like, once my kid gets home, go, like, spend some time, like, take a break, you know what I mean? Take a break, spend a little time with the kid, go to his jiu-jitsu practice. The important things. And then, you know, maybe duck back in after, like, he goes to bed, maybe do a little bit more work after that. So, I mean, yeah, it's 12 to 14-hour days, but I'm taking a little break here and there. And, I took my first day off last Sunday, which was nice. I hadn't taken a day off in the month of March yet, and I was like 26 days in or something. I worked 26 straight days. I'm like, I gotta take a day off. So
that's like that early junkie grind.
Yeah, it's and the crew over at the Underground, man, they're super cool. Like I was like, look, guys, just so you know, like, there's gonna be days where I just have to duck out, and they were like, you took this job thinking you'd get a day off, you know what I mean? And they're like, of course, man. So they're super supportive, and you know, we've been kind of getting a business plan together and addressing things that need to be fixed. So if anybody is seen, we've already made some changes at mixedmartialarts.com, but we got more coming, and this isn't the end product, you know. But
talking about in terms of changes of the site.
A little bit of everything, yeah. In terms of the site, in terms of, you know, all kinds of things. So we're getting started, though, and I'm enjoying it, man.
Are you calling yourself employee number one, or what are you?
I am the editor in chief.
So does that, I mean...
I guess technically, yeah, I'd be... Well, I'm not... I guess I'd be employee number one because they all own it. Yes, I guess I am. All
right, because there's no other...
I think they've had people... I mean, the site's been in existence for 24 years. I think they've had some people on and off. So I guess I can't be. But if we...
Of the new era.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the Zuffa era, right? You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, yeah, it's the Zuffa.
Employee number one of the Morgan era.
I'm employee
is John
number
Morgan.
One of the Morgan era. I love it. So, yeah, man, it's been fun figuring everything out. Like I said, it's been crazy, but we're starting to settle into a routine, settle into a rhythm now, starting to make plans. I'm excited, man. I got a busy April coming up. I will be in Jacksonville, so we'll be covering Jacksonville.
Look at that. You'll be down there with Mike Bond and Danny Segura.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it. Sure, we'll spend some time with them at some point.
I hope so. Keep the close ties with the old junkie.
Absolutely. we don't forsake the old junkie. You know, there's not... some of it, but not all of it. You know what I mean? We spent a lot of years there, 15 years there, man.
It's a long time.
Can't just totally, you know, forsake it. Although I will say, man, not spending much time on the website anymore. That's for sure, man.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. Not, you know, just refreshing that thing the whole time. It's a different mindset, and it's getting me adjusted to it. You know what I mean? Which is not easy, but it's been fun. But yeah, enjoying doing a lot more interviews than I have. You know, that's kind of fun doing that again, and just time never allowed for it before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My job responsibilities never allowed for it, so it's been kind of fun. But nah, I'm not doing any hour long documentaries. You know what I'm saying? The last time I recorded, I hadn't seen it, but I did get a chance to watch it. Actually, it was cool, man. I actually pulled it up on my Apple TV at home, sat on the couch.
The big one.
Yeah, watched it on the big 75-inch TV.
Nice.
Had a drink or two and watched it. And, I know that you don't need to hear it from me because you've already heard it from the likes of John Anik. You've already heard it from the likes of the UFC weigh-in show. They've been singing your praises. But
well, man, now that you told me about it.
That's pretty cool.
That's
pretty cool. Dude, I thought it came out real nice, man. And I think it came out real cool. And I don't know, man. I know that's the kind of project that you want to do. So I guess now that we're in person, I just want to say, man, I thought it came out phenomenal.
I appreciate it very, very, very much. You know, and we always said that things like that will always be around the character. You know, if I picked, you know, random just whoever that didn't have a story or, you know, a following like Brown, like... You know, the thing about Matt is that, I mean, we all knew he was beloved, but until you really see him in that area and
right.
you see that area embrace him, but let alone people on the outskirts, you know, I always like, you know, and it's funny, I was telling him the first time, like when I wanted to meet him when I was a UFC staffer, because at the time, I can't remember what the event was that he was on. I could have been maybe in Sacramento or somewhere. I can't remember. For some reason, I was feeling like California or somewhere. I remember going through the roster of who was going to be on the card. I was like, man, who's there? Who's here? Who's there? And they're like, oh, you know, so-and-so from Columbus. I was like, wait, what? What?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, there's a Columbus fighter here? And I was like, who is this guy? You know, and immediately I was like, well, you know, I got to root for this guy. I got to like this guy. And then you see his fight style. And then you're like, holy shit. Like, he's everything that we like about this sport. The guy that just goes out there and just is not.
Throw down.
He just wants to throw down. And he's. But he's not going out there. He doesn't talk a lot of trash. He doesn't whatever. But he's just endearing to a certain type of fan. And what I realized in this project and doing this was that you need to have somebody like that that has this interesting side, that has a backstory, that has the scars, that has the blemishes. You know, if the subject's too perfect, too pretty, and too unjaded, it's just... There's no substance there,
right.
You know. And the more, as we got into it, and just following him around, he was so welcoming. He was so just like, whatever you want to do, man. As much as you want to go, you know. When you're trying to ask a fighter, hey, I'm gonna come immerse myself into your life. You know, I'd like to get this, but you know, what's your schedule? What are you open to? What are you available? And he's like, dude, whatever you want, as much as you want. You know, come shoot on Wednesday in the morning or whatever. And then, you know, we could go whatever in the at night, whatever you want, whatever you need.
That's awesome.
And dude trains like a madman. His training was super impressive. And it's funny, like at fight night, you know, now I'm getting too far into like, but like he was training so much. I was just like, all he does is train. So I was like, dude, we're going to get so much footage of like B-roll, and this is going to be great. But then I was like, hey, you know, if you have like any favorite restaurants, do you have like anything we can go? We could shoot B-roll. And he's like, bro, I'm kind of boring. He's like, I don't really do anything. He's like, I train and then I just kind of go home. You know, that's kind of what he does.
No wonder you connect with him so much. Yeah. You're like, what? You never leave your house? I love you. This is amazing.
But I was like, oh man, maybe we're gonna get some setup shots going here or there. And he was just like, you know, I don't really do anything outside of the gym. You know, I go to the gym and then I go to this gym and then I go to this gym. You know, but it was great, man. He let me come just sort of be a fly on the wall doing whatever, and he was great. Like, and him and his team were just super open about everything.
Yeah.
When it got down to the interview, you know, we always sometimes say, like, you know, bro, I'm not trying to make a piece that's going to be like a hit piece and do whatever. If you say anything and you're just like, I'm really uncomfortable with this. I shouldn't have said this. Can I take that out? I was like, just tell me, let me know.
Which when you're doing an in-depth profile on somebody, like it's different when you're covering like a public news conference or something. When you're doing an in-depth profile on somebody and you're trying to get them to be as open as possible.
Right.
If they say like, you know what, I don't like the way that sounded. Like, can we scratch that?
Can we redo this? Of course. Because what good does that do me?
Yeah.
Especially if I'm sitting in his living room, you know, at this particular point, you know, and doing an interview and he says something and then he's like, oh man, I really didn't like that. And I'm like, sorry, sucker. I'm keeping it. You said
gotcha.
It.
Gotcha.
And by the way, I got 3 more pages of stuff I'm going to ask you about, yeah. You know, which even that is kind of funny. I went in there with 4.5 pages of notes. That might sound a lot, but it was like I was joking that the print was like – it was like the wide ledger, like notepad. I got it at the dollar store just so I had something. So it was like – it
like
wasn't
the
like –
kindergarten stuff, basically.
Kindergarten wide, you know. And so, you know, I go in there and I'm like, bro, this is probably only going to take me half an hour for this interview. And his reaction to that was like, oh, wow, like 30 minutes? Like he was surprised that people would be into wanting to like just do a 30-minute interview.
Yeah.
The interview went an hour and a half. It went an hour and a half.
Were you ever getting a feeling that he's like,
not at all?
What's going on here?
And that was the point. Like, because we would go and then we'd do some genuine follow ups. But he was.
I didn't see it on tape anywhere. Like, yeah, it looked like he was getting annoyed. Like, but I just wondered.
He was so honest and open. He was just about it. You know, and I think there was something, you know, and this resonates to like the week before and maybe the week before that when. We had Khalil Roundtree mm-hmm. was just like, you know, you guys aren't asking right things. You guys get this and then you move on. And I was like, I'm not going to let that happen. I want, if there's stuff that this guy wants to talk about, we're going to talk about it all, you know. And if he's uncomfortable, if he wants to say whatever. But there was no uncomfortable in him. There was no, you know, I'm ashamed about this part of my life, so I'm not going to talk about it. You know, when he started talking about, you know, and it was right from the get-go when he was telling his thing. It's funny because I can't remember it was still in the video. No, I think I cut it. But when I started asking him, maybe it was when I started off the interview, I was like, you know, so did you, you know, the paraphrasing was like, you know, so tell me about your childhood. You know, was it a happy childhood? And he's like, oh, we're just going to go right into it, you know. You know, and I was like, yeah, that's kind of what we're doing, you know. There was never a point where he was trying to, like, sugarcoat anything or, like, hide, like, what made him. And I think that's part of what we eventually, when we saw, like, Mark Coleman, like, it does no good if you look back on your past and you sugarcoat and you whitewash everything over and then you don't acknowledge what made you you. Is that really giving, giving the lesson that you learned the respect?
No.
You know? I mean.
Nor is it allowing from somebody else to potentially learn from
that. That's it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's what he knew, that by sharing his story and doing the other stuff, he was getting the potential for those that story could resonate with them, a possibility to see like, oh, okay, so, oh, I dealt with that too. And, you know, maybe I didn't think I could get over that. Or maybe I didn't think I was ever going to be able to do anything else because my past is my past and it's always going to weigh me down. You know, this is clearly one of those things when he was just saying more and more and he was just showing it. And I remember the first when he talked about the one fight where he's like, yeah, you know, was signed up to do an amateur fight, you know, did a couple lines and then we got in. And I was like, wait, no, like, you mean you signed a couple lines on a form? You go, and he's like, no. I did a couple lines. And I was like, oh, my God.
That was funny.
You know, like, I was just so shocked by how honest and open he was. But that was another sign where the right character, the right person that invites you in, that's willing to do it, if the right one will give you you pick the right one, you're going to get lucky because they're going to give you what you want. Mm. And, you know, whether you know that you need it or want it or anything, like, I would have never been like, hey, I was never, I'd never penciled down once. And any question on the sheet, tell me about your drug use of your past. Right. Tell me about your almost overdose on this.
He's just willing to talk about it.
He brought it up. You know, if you present a platform for fighters and for any interviewers, for anybody, and this could be in any conversation that you ever have in your life, where if you present an honest and open conversation and be open to that person, and you're giving the energy, if you're giving that sense that, hey, this is a, not to sound cheesy, this is a safe space where if you have something on your mind, you want to talk about it, bro, I'm interested in hearing what you have to say.
Yep.
And he gave all this stuff, and as he was saying it, I just, like, I realized at the end of it all that I felt like something powerful had been said in the interview. Until I went back and really was editing it, then I could hear more of the stuff that he actually said, and I was like, holy shit, you know, like,
yeah,
this guy had, what a crazy,
it yeah.
It's hard to, because, I mean, you know, when you're listening to it and you're listening for that follow-up question, because you're listening to it, but then I'm also thinking, like, okay, how am I going to push this into, like, my next stuff?
And just for anybody that's, like, a journalist listening, or anybody, if this happens to you, like, you're still very new in terms of, like, actually doing full interviews. Obviously, you're a videographer by trade,
yeah.
Right? And I'm saying that even seasoned interviewers do this, right? But that's a hard skill to get, you know what I mean? Where, like, you're just thinking, like, how do I progress this thing along? And so you end up not processing something
right. When
you hear it live. And that's just, I mean, it's just something that comes with repetition, but it's even hard even with repetition, you know what I mean? To make sure you're focused and in the moment and really keying in on what they're saying and thinking, do we need to take this in a different direction versus
right. Let
me just make sure I move on to our next topic, you know
right. What
I mean? And obviously, man, you know, it's been fun to see you improve as an interviewer just out of necessity, right? Because,
right.
I mean, you've been back there, you know, working in these press rooms where there's three people
right. Filming,
and if you guys aren't doing it,
Nobody is.
So, I got to ask you. So, the Mark Coleman stuff is great. And obviously, I think I
cried the next day when I went back and watched it. Like, because I, you know, plus it was like, I think I was tired from the edit, but there was a point in the edit because I wanted to involve. And this was it's funny because I was telling John earlier before we started recording about how I was able to. I gave some guest lectures back at the theater class at a different video project.
As you do, you know?
You know, as guest lectures. That's on my resume now. You know, I was talking about this interview, and I had no idea. I knew I wanted to interview him, and you know you're going to get some powerful stuff. But then when you're going, and I had the presence when I was doing a lot of B-roll. I knew I was going to interview Mark, so there was a lot of times I shot stuff. And there's even a lot of B-roll I didn't actually use. So shooting B-roll of Matt working out, but also shooting a lot of B-roll of Matt working out, but with the focus being on Mark in the background. Lots of shots of Mark so you could see Matt coming through, because I knew I was going to get into him. When that interview happened, Mark had said something earlier about we had talked a little bit about sobriety and about drug, you know, overcoming things. In a passing comment, when I was shooting something else, and so I knew I was going to interview him, but when he had said something, I said, do you mind if I bring that up when we talk? Can we talk about that?
Right.
And part of what Mark is working on being a year sober, but he also wants to be a beacon to others that are struggling about alcoholism, drug abuse, addiction, anything of those sort of things. So he wants to be that person. And he was like, of course, you know, of course, let's talk about it. The next day when I was editing the footage, and there was a section where, you know, because I even led Matt in the question. I was like, what does it mean to have Mark Coleman in your corner? And he starts talking. So as Matt was saying that, I was like, man, I remember the footage I got of the interaction between Mark and Matt's daughter.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're super, super close, you know.
Yep.
And, like, he always, like, part of the time when Matt's working out, Mark will help kind of take care of his daughter, keep her busy, because the boys are in the martial arts classes, but she's not. So she'll run around like just a firecracker, full of energy. And there was, like, practically a person that was just helping keep track of her so Matt could keep doing her things while they were waiting. Like, one of the young ladies that was helping do it, she was waiting for her class to start, so she had time. But that was part of the whole, like, collective that came out of this group family that sort of raises their kids there in a gym while people are, you know, trying to train and do or whatever. And when I watched that clip the next morning of Mark and that interaction with his daughter, and then I went back and watched the interview with Mark and just hearing the stuff that he gave me, and then when I saw him start breaking down, I started crying like the next day. Like, I was just like, I was just so overcome by, one, the whole process, the whole everything, but then like putting it together, and you're like shaping that story, and you want to make sure you include all those good little bits that, you know, there was so much that I saw that I was like, man, how do I put this in here so that others could see these great little moments that took place? And then when Mark opened up, as it was happening, I remember thinking, oh my God, you know, it's funny, you'll laugh about this, because one, the shooter in me was like, God, please, son, don't be over fucking exposed, because we're outside.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to look. I could barely tell on the screen. I was like trying to dial down the zebras, and I'm like, ugh. Then while trying to listen to this interview and not freak out, and then realizing that he was given this super powerful moment, that I cut out my bits that I said to me, because we had other interactions during that conversation, as he was saying, because I came from an alcoholic family as well. So we were connecting on some of the things that we said, but of course I cut my shit out of there. But just going back and listening to him over brought a whole range of emotions from my childhood to even just the involvement of what the piece created in this image. But yeah, I fucking cried the next day. I was like, this is so crazy. But I was so thankful that it was so honest and open, and I was just glad that I was able to put it in there, and then felt like it worked.
Yeah,
you know,
it did. Did you set up the shot with Mark so that Matt would be shadowboxing in the background, or did he just happen to do that?
What are you talking about, at the Max Effort thing?
Yeah,
no, those guys were inside the sauna, and then they came out. All I did, I set them outside because I wanted to get the Max Effort on the wall, and I was just framing it like that. Those guys came out from a sauna. And they were,
I had a feeling you didn't set that up, but no. I was like, that's pretty cool.
No, you couldn't even see, but like some of them, they came out and they were laying on the concrete down there, but they were off camera. And then that was just Matt just sort of like walking around, Mark in the background.
It was cool though. It worked out.
Yeah.
Like, I had a feeling it was just an accident. All right.
It was purely just the universe putting it together. It was definitely not me.
Amazing insight, man. And it did really, if anybody hasn't checked it out, do check it out, because, and that was kind of the point of the entire piece, was this is not a fight week piece. This is an evergreen piece. This is something that, you know, can when Matt's retired, whenever that may be, this will still live and be there. So if anybody hasn't checked it out, it's still worth going to check out. It's not timed by the fact that he just had a fight. But it's amazing insight. But the question, of course, that everybody wants the answer to, at least everybody who is a part of patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow, because I shared a photo with them, is why in the hell were you taking a picture of Matt Brown's groin?
It was his jock strap. It was a sponsored jock strap.
If you want to see this, patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. I didn't ask Cole Coffee if I could share this or not. He sent me a message personally, and I was like, well, I won't put this out on the wide interwebs.
Yeah, yeah.
But as far as our loyal supporters and patrons, they are definitely getting to see this.
So you just put because, it in patrons only?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, cool. I'll put it there.
That's awesome. Yeah. No, and it's funny.
And I believe the caption I used was, giving new meaning to hard work. As you were leaning in with your phone, taking a picture of his groin.
Well, it's funny. That was his phone. It was his phone.
His phone, okay.
Well, and that's why I sent that to you, and my only caption was "Perks of the Job."
Perks of the Job. That was a good one. That was a good one.
He was taking a picture. He just put it on because somebody, a cup sponsor, sent that to him, and so he put it on after he just worked out, and he put it on, and then he was taking pics, and it's his partner Connor, his business partner Connor, started taking a pic, and then I was like, "So what's it?" I was like, "Is that what you're? Is that the UFC?" Is that a UFC cup or like, is this them sending you gear? And he's like, no, it's a sponsor. He's like, and now I'm just trying to show him some love. And he's like, here, will you help me? Will you take this pic? And I was like, of course. I was recording. And then I looked over at Connor. I was like, can you please take a picture of this?
Like, this is so ridiculous.
I'm like, this is ridiculous. Because the way he, you know, pardon me, he was framing it was way too close. And I was like, oh, I'll frame it so make sure I can see the immortal on your stomach and blah, blah, blah. I wasn't even thinking about, like,
how ridiculous this looks.
Yeah, how ridiculous. Because it's just, you know, at that point, it was like, I felt like he invited me in to do whatever. And it wasn't like he was doing it in any way where he thought in his mind, like, hey, I'm going to make this guy for a joke, take a picture of that. He was just like, I can't take a good. He was trying to take a fucking selfie of his cup, and it wasn't working out. And he was just like, can you help me with this? I was like, dude, of course. I know what you're trying to do. You just want to get a good shot back for a sponsor. So I was like, here, yeah, let me just get this for you real quick. But then if it was something I was ever like embarrassed about, I would never share the first thing. I was like, dude, this is so ridiculously funny. I have to send this thing off. But dude, you know, it's crazy. I thought he did things in that fight with Barbarian, but I guess that's the difference of seeing fight speed when you see in practice. You know, you always hear fighters say, man, I go so hard and practice that, man, the fight's the easy part. Man, I saw him do things in some of the practice and some of this, like, things. I was like, man, this dude's a machine. And then when I saw him with Barbarian, I heard people say, like, oh, he looked like he was tired. And I was like,
nah.
I never saw him get tired in practice. Like, I don't understand. But
I think he's always fought that way where it's just like, you know what I mean? Like, it just looks like he's kind of fatigued or what have you, but he's not, you know?
You know? And I don't know.
Or he is, but he just continues to push through it. Sure it's a little bit tiring going at a pace like that.
And every day he was either doing some sparring and doing some other stuff. And part of me, I was like, man, this is great for footage. But then I'm also like, is this the right way to do this going into a fight week? Will you maybe be peaking right? You know, is this the right sort of thing? And I don't know if... You know, I don't know. It was perfect for me because it worked out. I had great B-roll. But the whole time I'm thinking, like, is this normal? Is this a normal sort of, like, going into it? And I don't know. When it came, I wish he would have dropped some of these elbows that I saw him doing in the training that I didn't see him use in the fight. But I don't know. I also realized when the fight was going, I was like, I'm way too close to the subject.
Yeah.
I was like, I was really, really stressed out, and it was all I could do.
And that's impossible to spend that much time around a guy on a fight week, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, especially now you're going to have that connection forever, but especially like there, when you see that, like it's hard.
Dude, he was on my side of the thing. There's a couple times I saw him when, you know, obviously his eyes are just looking outside the cage when he was like clinched up, and a couple times our eyes met, and it was like, fuck, it was all I could do to not, I wanted to start yelling directions, and I was like, god damn it, I was like, Kenny, just shut the fuck
up. I saw you cage side a little bit. Were you out there?
I went out there for that fight.
Okay.
I went out there for the first one, and then Matt was in the back end. Erickson's a beast, man. I was really, really happy to work with Erickson this week. He was great, man, pitching in.
Kind of an unsung hero of MMA Junkie, man. Like,
he was like, I'm not even sure why I was here. I was like, because I asked for you, motherfucker. I heard like you wanted to go, and then when I was going, I felt bad that you weren't going to go. So I was like, I'd like Matt to be my second.
Yeah,
you know?
Honestly, Matt Erickson, man. Like, I worked with that guy for a long time, man. And anybody that's part of the Junkie family knows, but as far as like the public knows, because he doesn't post on social media, he doesn't. Unsung hero, man. That dude is a hoss. I'll say this: if there's ever any organization out there that's looking to bring somebody on that's a hoss, it's that dude right there.
Dude, it was so good, and it was so refreshing. I mean, like, he could have went out there and sat ringside and did whatever. He sat in the back and did post fights with me and Damon Martin.
Wow, that's
for the most part. That was it. It was pretty much us. Huh. For the post fights in the back was me, him, and Dave Martin. He didn't sit out there. Can you believe that? But no, man, I can't say enough. It was fun working with Matt this week. It really, really was. But part of that too, I hadn't seen him in a while. But so I told him, I was like, because we were still waiting for Neil Magny to come back, and there was another one that was supposed to come back, Kekar France or whatever. But I was like, I got to go see Matt. I was like, I was going to try to, because we got them to hold, they were going to hold the winner of that one and then the co-main event and then the main event. And I was like, I really don't care about the main event, the other. I was like, I just run.
Wow.
You're invested.
You know, and
if I was in the weeds, the last thing I'm going to do is sit out there and watch and stay in the weeds. I'd rather get back and process the videos. Like, this is the one I want to watch. So I happened to go out there in the fight before and saw the end of that fight, and then going into that fight, but I realized as the fight was going on, I was just like, holy fucking bag of nerves, man. As unbiased, of course, we want to be, but there were points where I was like, fuck, there are things I was seeing that I was like, dude, I saw you do this right here in practice or whatever. I'm like, why aren't you doing this? And I just wanted to start yelling. And then I was like, you're way too close. You're way too close. And then at the end of it, I thought he did enough and he didn't win. And I was like, I must be too close.
It was super close. I scored it the other way, but I had no, you know, people that said, oh, I had it from, it was that close. Man.
Yeah.
It was that close.
Fight. I mean, I think some people, just because that last, the last bits of flurry of Barbarina, they thought that that was enough for them, you know, that he took that round. But I was just like, man, I don't know. But whatever. But at the end of it, I was like, God, I'm way too close. But it was painful. I was sad for him. But I was I mean, of course I was happy for Brian.
Yeah.
You know, I was happy because I knew what that family meant for him. You know,
ah, Brian's such a good dude, too,
he's
man.
A good dude, you know, I mean? Like, and I felt bad that they were booing at him, but I knew that that was what was going to happen.
I did feel bad about that, too. And I get it, man. Like, Matt's the hometown guy. It's a close decision.
Yeah.
It's a great fight. But you do, I do wish, and I saw, like, John Anik posted something like, hey, maybe don't boo as much. It was, like, I think there's a way to, like, boo the decision, but then cheer the guy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
you don't like the decision, you can boo, but then, you know, cheer a little bit for Barbarina because that dude came in was a warrior, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I
well,
get
they
it.
Certainly
it's,
did
it's
as he walked
guy.
Out. You know, yeah. I mean, he got his accolades and stuff, but I think they were probably still just like, ugh.
Mad.
You know, they were just a little – everybody's a little bit butthurt. You know, they wanted the Columbus guy to win or whatever, but – you know, and that's no offense to Brian. He I mean, he understands it would have been anybody who would have got that, not just you. As much as he was like, I'm like you. It's like.
That was funny.
Bro, at this point
I'm
right now.
I'm blue-collar like you.
At this
I'm
point, going
to worry about my farm and my kids.
At this point, you're an alien with three heads, and they're looking at you, and they want to hate you right
like,
now.
I promise we would enjoy a beer together. It would be great.
Well, even when he showed up on Media Day in, like, fucking overalls, no shirt. And I was just teasing. I was like, "Hey, man, is that your way of trying to connect with our agricultural side here in Ohio?" And he was like, "Yep, I'm a farmer." You know,
that's great.
I love it.
Well, that's awesome, man. Well, I'm glad you got that experience, man. To be able, I know you for a long time. Well, I mean, you've done a couple, but I mean, that was one of the more in-depth projects you've ever done. And I know that that's something you've been pushing for a long time.
Yeah. I didn't think I'd ever get a chance to do it again. That was one thing before. Manny left that we were talking about trying to do that out of Cowboys place and do some more in-depth stuff with that. And I was like, man, are we ever going to get to do something different?
I'm still looking.
And I'll
be honest with you, man, I'm still happy to collaborate with you on some big in-depth features like that. If you need my help, I'll just have to charge you a slight fee for my talent to be there.
Well, you know, I thought it's funny because I thought at some point on that particular piece, I thought I was going to have to do a narration over it to help carry the piece.
Right.
And I was like, man, that sort of sucked because I could have used John's writing and John's voice on this. But then I was like, well, fuck, I guess this will just be me making my, like,
look,
debut to, like, do it or whatever.
I'm happy to freelance. I mean, if you guys need some assistance, you know what I mean? Like, just let me know where to send the invoice, and I'll happily charge my premium rate.
extra premium rate, listen, I'm sure.
I'm glad you got to do it, man. So,
yeah, it was good. It was good.
Listen, no events this week. This is crazy, man. No UFC. No Bellator, no one championship. Like, we never have weeks like that.
Yeah, who
but
didn't get the memo to plan this weekend?
Somebody else should have been like, bro, look, can we just throw an event just to take advantage
like this
of
would
it?
Have been the day, the weekend that BKFC just ruled the airwaves.
I guess, is this weekend Final Four or something? Is that maybe why people stayed away from it?
Could be. I mean, that it's the Final Four, I think, is the weekend. It's the week after. I mean, because that starts on the 1st.
Oh, wow. So I don't know then, man. That's crazy. I don't know why people didn't.
I mean, granted, I mean, there are things happening, I'm sure, in some things. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was just fatigue that they just didn't quite do it. But, I mean, yeah, you figure there had to be something going on. But it's just a little strange that everybody sort of backed out.
It looks like the two semifinal games, the two Final Four games, are on Saturday. And then I imagine the finals probably on Monday. So maybe the organizations all say we're not going against the Final Four. I mean, the Final Four is a big thing.
It's pretty big.
It is weird for there to be no MMA whatsoever. So
yeah.
Crazy. But, you know, that just means it gives us freedom to give a little bit of behind the scenes, and a little bit of
love
in-depth.
I love this week. Everybody's like, oh, this is like your week off, right? I'm like, well, we still got to do stuff.
Not
really. But, I mean, I'm not sad about it, you know. That's funny. On the recent that show that you used to have part of back in at Junkie, that Spinning Backlick. They talked about – I don't know if you remember that, MMA Junkie.
Hold on, Spinning Backlick? Man. I've done so much. It's just hard for me, and I know it's been a long time. It's been a long time, man. I mean, we think way back to, like, February.
But they were talking about, you know, events opening up and, you know, arenas going full bore, you know. I like these weekends off. I know some people can't stand when there's no MMA going, but there's so much MMA for like a weekend like this.
Nah, one every now and then is good.
It's great.
It's just crazy. It's just crazy. It just never happens that there's no major MMA at all. You know what I mean? Like, that just never happens.
But I do feel like April things go pretty big. Bellator goes big in Hawaii.
April's going big, yeah.
They got the two nights in a row that they usually do when they go over to Hawaii.
Anybody pulling Hawaii duty for you guys?
I think Matt and Nolan.
Nice.
Because I think they're actually going to do, like, is there Bellator or something in Sacramento or something before that?
San Jose. Yeah, so
then
go to San Jose, Hawaii,
or something like that. And then I want to say Hawaii's got two events, like the 23rd,
24th, yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, there's two back-to-back.
So... I found out those boys are doing that, so good for them. I mean, we did that one. That's a fun trip, but it's a lot of work. I just feel like this month there's a lot of big shit going on.
CFFC. Obviously that's dominating the headlines.
I mean, that's the number one organization right now, right?
I'm just saying. So I'm looking forward to doing that, man. I will say this, man. It is so nice for me to be able to just book a commentary gig and not have to think about anything about it, man.
Your first commentary gig that now you're skipping for your second commentary gig.
Well, we might have some news on that front. I don't think we can break that news yet. But, yes, I will unfortunately be missing Lingerie Fighting Championships with my man, Cole Coffey. I'm tied up and won't be able to do it. But if everything works out, we may have some pretty fun news on that front. So I'm hoping it all. This will be the, you know, it always hurts me to have to miss a Lingerie Fighting Championship event, but with what's potentially happening,
yes,
I'll be tuned in.
As a big investor in LFC, I'm always sad when the number one commentary guy is not there.
I mean, you're like a majority owner in the thing at this point. I mean, as many shares, it is actually publicly traded.
Publicly traded, and you too can own millions of shares
of booty.
Of booty.
And that B-O-T-Y?
B-O-T-Y.
B-O-T-Y.
B-O-T-Y is the stock ticker and is currently trading, I believe, at 0.0006.
To the moon!
Cheers.
To the moon!
Let's all take it to the moon, folks.
To the moon.
Buy it and tell your family to buy it as well.
Bring it to the moon. Cole Coffey will not complain.
I will not complain.
He's got a very nice position on that. All right, listen. Like I said, doing more interviews, but right before I came over,
right before. I thought you were going to be delayed.
No, I thought I was too. I had a chance to speak to Kelvin Gastelum, who it's pretty funny because we already had the interview scheduled. And then the whole world fell apart for him over the last couple days, but he was still kind enough to say, nah, let's keep that interview slot and let's do it. So we'll share that here for the fine folks of the MMA Roadshow. Here is my conversation with Kelvin Gastelum, who thought he was going to miss his fight at UFC 273, is now sticking around, got a new opponent, and Dricus du Plessis. And here's what Kelvin had to say. All right, so Kelvin Gastelum, I reach out to you on Saturday to book an interview. You're fighting Nassourdine Imavov. By Monday, you don't have a fight anymore. You're off the card. By Tuesday, you're now facing Dricus du Plessis. I mean, it's Wednesday. I told you, we don't have to do this interview, bro. I know you got a lot going on. You said, no, I'm going to do the interview. So, dude, what kind of a crazy week has this been like for you, man?
Yeah, man, it's been a little bit of a roller coaster. And, man, every time we get a chance to talk, it's very cool. Always a pleasure to talk to you, John. And so I was like, let's get it done, no matter what. It's been a little bit of a roller coaster. First, the fight was off, is what I was thought, you know. And then we settled on rescheduling for May 7th in Phoenix. And so that's what I thought was going to happen. And I was like, all right, well, at least it's a plus. I'm in Arizona for the first time in my UFC career. I'm fighting in Arizona. So that's a plus. But then I was just kind of sitting back and after a training session, and I was like, man, I put in so much effort, so much time. I moved out here to Arizona for this, and like, I don't want to let it go to waste, you know? And so I was talking to Ali, my manager, And he's like, well, let's run some names, see who pops up. And some of these names were already available, were already unavailable. They already got booked up. And so we were hoping that Drakus, excuse me if I mispronounce his name, Drakus, was kind of our last shot. You know, it's like, hopefully he's the one that accepts it. We're still on the card, if so. And sure enough, he did accept.
That's awesome, man. What a crazy stream event. So I guess let me ask you first. I mean, this was not an injury, right? This was not COVID. This was a visa issue. So did you ever know along the way, like, hey, just FYI, there might be a chance that we can't get this guy into the country. Was that ever brought up to you?
It ran through my mind just quickly, like, visa, stuff going on around the world. Meh. We'll see. It ran through my mind quickly and left. No, man, I didn't think it was actually going to happen like this. I was pretty devastated. But hey, man, we've been through this before.
That's awesome. So what was it? So, I mean, you're scheduled for May 7th, which, like you said, I think would be great, right? You fighting in Arizona, you're right there, it'd be awesome. But you said just something crossed your mind, like, no, I can't waste this training camp. I guess, what was that feeling that you just – you couldn't let the work go to waste? Was that it? Was this just such an amazing training camp?
Yeah, I think so. This was an amazing training camp. Put in a lot of effort, a lot of thought. Not just me, but like a group of people behind me. We all collectively put in a lot of effort and work into this camp. So, man, I wasn't going to let it go to waste.
There wasn't any part of you that was like, I mean, I could just go get like a burrito right now, or, you know, we could go crush some food, like enjoy it and just pull out.
Thinking I'm about to go get me a big steak tonight, you know, and see what happens. But then I also started having those thoughts, and I'm like, all right, let's hold on, relax. And then I went to go train again. Then I talked to my manager, and those thoughts kind of started kicking in. And I was like, all right, let's hold on off on the steak dinner for now.
That's awesome. All right, so
sure that I'm not fighting, you know, because those thoughts about getting a leg replacement, and then we started talking, and then it started getting more real. And I was like, all right.
That's awesome. Talking about Drakus, I mean, Drakus obviously has not been in the UFC for very long. He made some impact on the, you know, on the international stage, but I mean, you're in the UFC at the time. So, I mean, are you familiar with him at all? Had you seen his fights? When his name comes up, did you know anything about him?
Yeah, no, I didn't know much about him. Yeah, I had to do my homework on him the last few days. I've been studying him, watching his fights, me and my team. So I wasn't real familiar with him, but I am now. You know, he's a tough guy, man. You know, he's not in the rankings, hasn't been in the UFC very long, but I've seen what he's been doing. You know, he has a lot of pop in his punches, has a lot of stoppages. You know, he's one of those guys. He'll take one to give one. So. You know, this guy is younger, he's hungry, wants to take my spot. And I'm in a bit of a crossroads myself, right? But that's not what I'm focused on. I'm just focused on getting my W.
That's awesome. I was going to ask you about that, right? Because Nassourdine Imavov is another one of these guys, right? He's kind of on the rise up, and you took the fight with him, and you know exactly what's trying to go there. He's trying to take your spot. So then you get this other guy, Drakus du Plessis. It's another guy that is trying to take your spot. And I just wondered, was there any part of you that's like, nah, man, I'm Kelvin Gastelum. Like, I've paid my dues. I've been in fights of the years. I don't need to be risking my spot against these guys. Is there any part that thinks, no, they don't deserve to fight me?
There's a little bit of that, but at the same time, it's like at this point, is it doesn't matter. I'm so well prepared. It doesn't matter who steps in there. I just want to be able to fight April 9th. It's what's been in my mind for freaking 12 weeks now. You know, so that's what I had in my mind. That's what I'm keeping in my mind, and that's what I'm gonna get.
That's awesome. How much game planning can you really do? I mean, do you try to craft a custom series of techniques and game plan, or do you just go, well, we got a week, we're right. Kind of already doing what we do. I mean, how much can you do in a week?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a firm believer that if you can make some real adjustments if you put in the work. But to be honest, I was talking with the coaches and not much. We're not changing too much. You know, it's not a whole big difference. This guy's a striker, orthodox, just like Imavov was. You know, Dupressy might have a little bit more of a wrestling, grappling background, but at the same time, I think just the strategy for the most part doesn't change. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all good, man.
The whole setup here is falling apart.
Everything's changing on the fly, man. We're fixing the setup. We're fixing everything. So I guess, Kelvin, what does this mean? I mean, I know you said you don't want to focus on being in a crossroads, and I don't want you to, but what does this fight mean to you, man? You said you've got this amazing training camp. You know, it's the first fight of this year. You know, now you're facing a guy you weren't preparing for. But what does this moment mean for you? What does this fight mean for you?
It feels like a restart in my career, John, honestly. Man, I'm making a lot of changes. I moved out here to Arizona. We're doing things differently out here. As you can see, Triple C's bringing in all these people wanting to work with him. And it's for a reason. There's a system that they've created and we're following. And it's a pretty awesome results what we've had during this camp. And I'm excited. It feels like a restart in my career. It feels like a restart for me. I feel like I'm in a great place mentally, physically. It just feels like a whole new start for me.
That's awesome. So you completely moved out there, not just training camp. Are you living there in Arizona completely?
Yeah, I'm living out here.
Wow, that's awesome. You know, I just talked to Mark Madsen earlier today, man, and he was saying the same thing. He was like, guys, this gym, this team, it's different. It's special. You're talking about a guy that was in the Olympics three times, and he's like,
crazy.
I feel like I'm – yeah, he's saying I'm just scratching the surface of who I am as an athlete. So what is it, man? You've been around at this game. You've trained with the best. What is it that's making this so much different? And I told Mark, don't give Henry Cejudo too much credit. Don't let Triple C get too much credit.
No, Henry is out here. He's out here giving us advice. He's like the Don out here just – walking around like the principal, just like, all right, what are you guys? And then he'll give him advice every now and then, you know. But what we're doing out here differently, I think the way that I put it was just like, you know, you go buy a suit and it feels nice to go put on a nice suit. You feel nice. It looks good. But then you go buy a custom tailored suit and that's a whole nother fit. That's a whole nother feeling, right? And that's kind of what it feels like out here. This is a custom tailored suit out here. You're getting a 5-star treatment as well. I mean, everything and anything that you might need, we have at our disposal. You know, these people have resources, thankfully, to cover anything, medical, anything you might need, it is covered. So, they're just doing things differently out here, John.
That's awesome, man. Well, Kelvin, I won't keep you too long because I know you're busy. You got a lot going on. I appreciate you still keeping this interview. I guess I'll ask you, ideally, I mean, you don't want to look past this fight, obviously. You're happy that it's still coming together, but that scenario of fighting in Arizona, does that appeal to you? I mean, would you possibly consider turning around that fast? Or hell no.
About 4 weeks, 3.5 weeks. I didn't consider it. No, I did not consider it before. But I would love to fight in Arizona. I mean, I think we would sell the place out. My whole city would be there. We would tear the roof off the place, I think. And it would be fun. That's why I was thinking, you know, kind of settling on that. On fighting in May. But and that's a great card as well, you know. Gaethje and Oliveira, I forgot. I just remember being blown away by the card.
It's loaded. Well, you know, maybe you get in there in Florida and throw one punch and get out, and then you can go fight again in 4 weeks.
It's not good, baby. Yeah.
I love it. All right, Kelvin, I'll let you get back to it, man. I know you got a lot going on. Happy for you that you're still fighting and looking forward to seeing you throw down like you always do in
always
Florida, my man.
Pleasure. Always a pleasure, John. Thank you.
All
All right, that was Kelvin Gastelum. Appreciate him taking a few minutes out of his busy day to speak. Obviously, we had set up the interview before everything crazy happened, so I completely told him, I was like, bro, if you need to back out of this, like, I get it. You got a lot going on. He's like, nope, we're going to do this. Let's get together. So awesome, and we're excited to see him down in Jacksonville. Glad he stayed on the card. I mean, I would have totally understood if he wanted to take the rescheduling and fight in Arizona, you know, backyard now, but you know, said it. Look, dude, I want to stay on. So, good for him, man. I like Kelvin, man. He's a good dude. So, you know, big fight for him. He's starting to kind of lend his name out to, you know what I mean? Like, but that's what happens. I guess that's the life cycle, right? You're the up and comer, and then you're around, and then the up and comers are coming after you, right?
Yeah. When that interview was possibly falling off, did you call up Nazareth? And little Kelvin,
be like, bro,
and be like, yo, can you fill in?
Just, you know what I mean? I was already planning on. Can you? So just be like, can you just answer the questions as if you are Kelvin Gastelum? That would be pretty funny. Like, look, I'm gonna ask you a whole bunch of Kelvin Gastelum questions. Like, can you just please
just answer like you were Kelvin Gastelum?
Nobody will know. Like, nobody's gonna know. Like, just do that. That'd be awesome. That's too funny, man. It is eerie how similar
it is, but it's like, I'm like, and it's funny because I think sometimes I'm like, is this just our joke? And then I see other people, and then everybody else is like, it's everybody. It's everybody's joke.
It's the joke. It's the joke. So listen, you know, you were, you know, entrenched in Ohio. I've been adjusted to the new job, but is it just me, or does like the last couple of weeks feel like the MMA world just done gone crazy, man? With this the Chael Sonnen stuff is crazy. Obviously, the Jorge Kobe cheese. The Jorge and Colby stuff is crazy as well.
Will Smith.
The Will Smith. Dude, the
world is just losing its mind.
What is going on, man? What is going on? All right, look. Can you give it? And I have seen some people say this, and it's so true, that it seems like people have inconsistent opinions over each one of these situations. I mean, if we're talking about Chael, if we're talking about Jorge, if we're talking about Will Smith, like, can you look at each of them individually and have a different idea of right and wrong? Or should you have one overriding guiding principle of what's right and what's wrong?
I mean, I think when I was taught as a young boy, right and wrong was right and wrong.
Right?
I don't remember them putting stipulations or any sort of like different variations on right and wrong back when I was a kid. No, man, it's just, I don't know, man. Crazy shit. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was just I blame full moons, maybe. Maybe there were some full moons and people just lost their minds and did whatever. But, you know, I think, too, maybe with some of these fighters and some of this stuff, you know, you go big, you go hard, you have the money. And that could be anybody. When you have money and you have means to go out and be fucked up and to be out and being about, I mean, you certainly don't get in a lot of fights when you stay home. You know, that's for sure.
There you go. See,
but when you're out and about and you're getting your drink on, and then in this day and age, you know, not like anybody, not that anybody that you sort of mentioned is actively out there trying to do something just to be noticed or to be in the spotlight. I mean, well, granted, Will Smith, I mean, that was pretty ridiculous what he did. He was obviously trying to be in the spotlight, you know, doing his moment.
Real slap, right? Real slap?
Oh, yeah, it was real slap.
Yeah, all these people that are saying it was fake, they're just trolling, right?
They're just trolling. I mean, it was a real slap. It was just, I feel like we could talk about that. That was like the most ridiculous thing at all.
And I don't want to spend too much time because everybody is talking about it. But I mean, dude, it was a pretty big thing to.
I mean, it was ridiculous. And it was big. I mean, like, people joke about people's families and their other stuff, and it wasn't even that bad of a fucking joke.
Race, religion, you know? Family. But
this is. This is also the same guy.
Not the fight game. This is a.
This is the guy that's also was like this whole big open relationship, and his wife's putting other men's what's in her mouth, but you can't put her name in your mouth.
Wow.
You know? I mean, come on, Will. If there was a person that you should have been slapping and fighting, how about the dude that was fucking your wife? Not Chris Rock that's up there just making a mild joke. A mild joke. That, did you look at the footage? Will was laughing at first.
Right. I haven't seen it, but I've heard people talk about that. I guess he was laughing and then noticed that she wasn't.
Noticed that she was upset and then decided to go up there. And that's what maybe people think also that it was fake or whatever. But no, I have no reason to believe that they had any sort of collusion between the two of them. Because, I mean, you see comedians come out and say, like, dude, that was nothing. Like, I can't believe you, if you're going to go up there and assault somebody because they joke about your wife. Like, they've been roasting each other's friends and families for years, you know. It felt like that was more of an underlying issue of him being upset about something else, but that's not how you do it.
I mean, listen, I will say it's a hard position to be in terms of like when we go see like an Adam Hunter show, right? Like Adam Hunter will bust my balls, you know. He's so great at crowd work, you know what I mean?
Right.
And he'll bust my balls, and I laugh. I'm like, ah, you know, it's funny. Like, you know, there was one time like he said something about me, and I remember like I grabbed my heart, just like, oh, you're hurting my heart. And he's like, don't have a heart attack, and I'm like, ah, come on, man, like you got to keep going further, you know what I mean? But it's fun. Like I get it. Like it's fun. And at the end of the day, like he'll. You know, he's openly supportive of how, you know, good I am at my job and stuff like that. So, I mean, I know he's just having fun for the sake of the show. But I will say this, if I was there with my wife and he was insulting my wife, like, I don't know, man.
What was so insulting? Because she shaved her head now because of whatever she's dealing with.
I think she's losing her hair.
Yes, but then she shaved it. Right. Anything, but it wasn't like he said, like, oh, the new G.I. Jane, like, that wasn't that bad.
It's not that bad.
It wasn't like he was like,
yo, bitch, can't grow hair.
Yeah. like that would have been very different. You know, he creatively put a play on it that could have been fun because his wife's an actress as well. I mean, it just made sense. You know, like it wasn't.
That's a good point, too. Like it is kind of touching on the condition, but it's not really like harping in on the condition, right?
Right.
Like
it's not like, oh, your poor wife who's struggling and she's making this thing. Like, you know, like if she was really upset about it or something, I mean, like, I think he would have probably never did it. He just, I think, assumed like, hey, she's got a sense of humor as well. You know, like this is probably stuff that we all could joke about.
Like
or
if she was wearing a wig because she's so upset about her, like, and then he made fun of that, would that be out of line?
Maybe then I would see that as being more. He probably took it like, you know, she's out and about. She's feeling good about herself. She cut her hair. Her hair happens to look like new G.I. Jane.
Yeah, yeah.
And he made a joke about it. Like, if she was upset about that, then maybe she had, tried to doctor her appearance, and then he went at her or something like that. But she was out and about feeling pretty and sexy and whatever, and he just said, hey, you look like that fucking character that What's-Her-Face played in G.I. Jane.
Yeah, and
you know?
So I'm comparing you to another actress, and you are an actress.
Another attractive actress that played a role with a shaved head.
It's weird. Like, I get it, because, again, you know.
It just read that was more Will had his own fucking issues that he's dealing with. You know, his old maybe whatever, and maybe he felt that he didn't do enough things at the right time that allowed his wife to want to have this open relationship and fuck other men, you know, and now he's like angry.
Like would he have been,
he lashed out a smaller dude.
Would he have been out of line if he didn't go up and slap? Like if he just yelled, keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth, like would that be acceptable?
Yeah, because then at that point he would have just heckled back, then it just would have been a part of the show. And it wouldn't have been a physical assault, and it also wouldn't have made him look stupid.
Oh, you know the joke with it would have come next is the joke that you made.
That's the thing that everybody else is saying. Like, this is what you're going to stand up for when a guy makes a mild joke about your woman's hair choice, regardless or not. If she was, like you said, I mean, like, she still looked great and she had shaved head. Who cares? It was a shaved head. It's not like they're like, nobody felt sympathy for her when they're looking at her. They're not like, oh, poor Jada. They're like, oh, there's an attractive rich woman that's dealing with something right now and shaved her head. I get it. Like, I'm not trying to belittle whatever, but there's a lot of other people with real, 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 real fucking shit going on out there. Like, if it was really bad and she was feeling embarrassed about whatever, she wouldn't have been out in public and doing whatever. And again, it's comedians doing what they do, and that was mild.
If you just let it go, if you just don't do anything, nobody ever even notices that joke.
Nobody doesn't even notice it. Because
I think a lot of people didn't even understand the joke. I didn't understand the joke at first. It took me a while. Somebody had to explain the joke to me.
Well, if they would have showed her on camera, you would have got it. Because then you would have like, oh, G.I. Jane. I mean,
but I didn't get it when I first saw the footage or whatever. So yeah you're right.
Certainly wasn't like what fucking Colby says. People are like, if Colby, when he was talking, like,
all right, well,
Colby,
let's go to that one next. Let's finish this one first, because I think I'm one of the guys that I think I get myself in trouble for this sometimes, but it's just me who I am. Like, I think I sometimes side with people who are clearly in the wrong, but like I understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
So when you see Will do you understand where he's coming from? Like, do you have any kind of empathy or whatever?
Oh, no, I mean, I understood it, but I also would have been like, where were you at when your fucking wife was really doing real shit? Like, this is what you get upset about?
Yeah.
I just feel like there's other shit. I would have just been like, where were you at when before? Like, this is what makes you fucking mad?
It's fair.
You fucking bitch.
And maybe that's what. Maybe that's really just playing on
and why
that.
Slap, you fucking bitch?
Wow. Like,
me and Will Smith are going to throw
partner,
it down.
No, I hate it. Fake it, Duke.
No, I like Will Smith as an actor, but I just think that was like, it was just silly, you know.
But he better not see me on the streets. All right, let's go to Colby Jorge, because, again, this is the thing I really, really hate about this situation, is that it is almost impossible for me to offer an opinion or to give, because now I'm involved in the stupid story that I don't want anything to be involved with.
10 push-ups.
Yeah.
10 push-ups.
It's annoying because I can't even.
Have you done 10 push-ups yet, John?
No. It's not going to happen, ever. It's difficult because I can't even really give an opinion on this. Because it's whatever I say, people are going to say it's shaded or whatever, and I get that. It sucks because I didn't mean to be involved in all this situation, and now I am. But I'm kind of torn on this one too, right? Because, listen, at the end of the day, what Jorge did is commit a crime, right? I mean, that is an absolute crime. And then there's the discussion of, you know, why wouldn't you just square up on him? Like, it's one thing to be like, hey, it's on site, but it's another thing to be like, it's on site, and I square it up with you, and I let you know, and we're going at it, versus I snuck up on you and threw a sucker punch in the back. You know what I mean? So, like,
sucker punches suck.
They do, and especially because we've seen, like, you know, these sad stories of, like, people dying because the way their head hits the concrete.
When you're a professional fighter, you're way too good that you don't need a sucker punch,
right.
But you also know the effectiveness of a sucker punch. The effectiveness of a sucker punch is 10 times the fold of two dudes squared up, ready and prepared and mindset ready, watching for a strike, doing all the other shit. Part of that was probably a frustration that Jorge wasn't able to do what he needed to do in the ring, so he took a cheap way out of it and actually, sucker punched him, and that was shitty, you know? But
at the same time, and again, this is me siding with people that are clearly in the wrong. Like, you can't say that it's not wrong. Like, it is a criminal act.
Yeah.
It is a criminal act. You can't walk up and hit somebody on the face. Now, again, That grainy footage, like, I don't know how much of it was a sucker punch, how much of it. It does look like maybe Colby turns around just for a second. I don't know.
Yeah.
But whatever. That stuff will all come out in investigation, I'm sure, and we'll find out what the actual stakes of it were. But at the same time, does there not need to be some – again, here I am. I can't even have an opinion on this. I just think that, like, this is what Colby set up for himself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, there's – Colby, in a sense, yes, there's obviously everybody's going to be like, this is what Colby deserved. He asked for it, you know. And there's a lot of people like, he took it to such a low and nasty level. That low, nasty level bullshit talk deserves low and nasty tactics delivered right
Dead
back.
Deadbeat dad. I mean, again,
you know,
like,
all that shit.
And let me take it to another level. Not that my kid's old enough to be in an Adam Hunter show, right? But Adam Hunter cracks on me, cool, I can deal with it, like, it's funny, and plus I know you like me, like, it's cool, like, we're having fun for a show. Crack on my wife, we're treading something nice right here now, hey, I know we're boys, but maybe not. Crack on my kid?
Yeah.
I don't think I could take that. Now, obviously, my soon-to-be 10-year-old kid is not going to be at an Adam Hunter comedy show, but, yeah, I mean, dude, the deadbeat dad stuff, the whatever, like, bro, like, this is what happens. This is what happens, right?
I mean, it certainly is, but it's also, you know, if you're going to go, especially the route of maybe if it was like, that's funny when you think about it, like, if it was an honorable, hey, you and me in the square, we're going to meet, we're going to decide to fight, you beat my ass, of course I'm not going to press charges. This is me and you. We decided to do it on the street, on site, you know, blah, 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 whether there's a paycheck or not. But then you go and you happen to find me, and if it is like a sucker punch and whatever, I mean, good on you. You got over it. But there's no honor, there's no whatever, there's no reason why I shouldn't press charges. Like, for people that are like, oh, well, you deserve this, and you said it was going to be on site, and he sucker punched you, so you can't press charges. Why? He still broke the law. He still did some shady-ass shit, you know? Like, did he not deserve it? Of course. He did. He deserved to get his ass whipped on site, as was promised, you know, but That still doesn't mean do some sneaky ass shit and fucking sneak up if that is what happened and he just sucker punched a dude. You could have easily just been like, yo, Colby, hey, motherfucker.
See, I have heard that that's kind of what happened, is that he, like, he didn't come in unannounced. Yeah. Now, I don't know how much, like, again, I've...
Well, still, even if that did, even if that is exactly what played out, even if he was like, hey, Colby, motherfucker.
That's what I've
and
heard.
And Colby turns around again, and looks at him.
Apparently, like, if you, and again, that grainy footage is hard to see, but yeah, apparently, like, he turns for a second and then keeps walking or whatever, and that's when, so yeah. I've heard that they did try to get his attention and be yeah, like, you know, turn around.
With that being said, I mean, maybe if, maybe the fight, maybe that's the case, and Colby won, then I can see him maybe being like, ha ha, I'm not going to press charges because I just, like, now I can talk shit about you. But everybody knows that if you're not in a sporting environment, the legal side of things is going to get in there. I mean, somebody would, I mean, what if it would have happened and say Colby did that to George? You think George wouldn't press charges? Of course he fucking would.
Well, no, you're right. And look, and there's a whole funny thing about not pressing charges, like, because, like, okay, so what
and
if
even at some point,
like,
too, what if it's, like, out in public, it doesn't even matter what you guys want to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, the state will just pick
the
it up.
The state will pick it up.
But, like, because you're right about that. Because, like, what if you're like, hey, I said it's on site, so I shot him. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, well, you can't press charges on me. You were talking all that noise, so I shot you. Like, nah, dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It is weird. It's just weird because, like, on the one hand, you can't sit here and say, like, oh, Jorge did it. He's right. He's 100% right. But at the same time, you also can't be like, my goodness, this Jorge Masvidal, how is he acting this way? You know
yeah,
what I mean? It's just
– no, I definitely –
it's just, again, yeah, it's just – like, the way you started out is funny. You know, there's right and there's wrong. And then you look at situations like this, and it's like, is there really right and wrong, or is it just, like, such a weird gray area, which is why – we need to have boundaries because
yeah,
things get like
it's,
this.
Because it's not the Wild West anymore.
It's not the Wild West.
You know, you can't just be like, oh, man, I knew that you wronged me. And at some point, once we saw each other, it's going to be high noon. We're going to draw weapons. We're going to kill each other. Unfortunately,
Duke would have done it.
The Duke would have done shot him before he was born. He's so good. It's just one of those things. I mean, did Colby deserve to get his ass whipped? Yes. Did he deserve to get his ass whipped in the cage? Yes, that didn't happen. Unfortunately, this part happened, but I mean, I'm not sad for Colby, but I also understand why he pressed charges, and that was within his right to press charges. If somebody comes up on you, whether, you know, whatever, and they initiate the assault, mm-hmm, it's within your right whether you want to press charges or not. And Jorge knew that well in advance that that could happen. And I'm sure he was completely fine with it. You know, it's not like he's sad. He knows what happened. He knows whatever. But I'm not sad at Colby that he got attacked by any means. You know, dude said some stupid shit. I just wish that there would have been maybe, and this makes me sound like a dick, I wish that he would have got really, like, fucked up. If you're going to put it at this point, you're going to, like, have charges going against Jorge. I wish there was more payload out of it.
Well, yeah, because now I would imagine, like, Let's say for whatever reason this thing gets dismissed or it gets, you know, whatever, it's minimized, which I don't expect anything serious to come out of it. You know what I mean? Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think it's anything
serious.
You never know. But here's the thing: is
some commission with the fucking hang up could be like, no, I'm not going to let this fucking dude fight.
They could. Well, but I'm talking about legally in terms of jail time and stuff
yeah,
like that. You are right about that. That's something to think about. But here's what I'm thinking is, because you're right. If let's say this thing does kind of blow over, and then 6 months from now, they see each other in the streets again, and he attacks them again. Like,
yeah,
now you're going to have a problem.
They would really throw the book at
they
him.
They throw the book at him.
Sort of
so you had your one shot. You had your one shot. Yeah. Did you maximize your one shot? Which, again, now we're talking about right and wrong, whatever.
It's not right what George did, but it's understandable why he wanted to do it.
There you go.
Everybody, and I mean, like, same thing with, like, nobody, it's unfortunate what Kane decided to do, but everybody understands why Kane did what he did.
Like, I hate comparing the two because the situations are so different, but in terms of that decision-making process,
right,
it's absolutely right, where it's like, dude, it's not okay for you to be driving down the road shooting at somebody, but
I understand why you did it.
Fully understand, wholeheartedly.
Completely.
He needs to be out of jail.
And that's why I understand why Jorge did what Jorge wanted to do. Like, any of us would have wanted to do the same thing, you know, I'm just glad he decided to do it with his fist. There's a lot of stupid motherfuckers, crazy motherfuckers, and I've been guilty of that in my – well, not that I'm trying to shoot anybody, but I've been guilty of my own anger issues he chose to deal with his anger in an issue where it was still fisticuffs.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people out there that would have done stupid shit. We hear people all the time fucking losing their lives to drive-by shootings and other shit. If this was really – this could have been another situation like that. You know, I mean, it could have did this. Jorge at least was like, let me fucking – I'm going to lay hands.
So the two things that I've been told that will support that – and again, I can't verify this firsthand, but it's what I've been told from people that were there – is that, number one, they did try to get his attention verbally, as you said, and that maybe he did acknowledge them and turn back the other way. And number two, that there was a group of people, but that everybody was told, stay away. It's me. So – at least it's – I mean, if there's any honor in being dishonorable, at least it seems like he took the most honorable route.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the investigation will let the details come out.
And like this, it's almost like you don't even want to bring honor into it because it was like honor amongst thieves. You know, if you got this guy who's just kind of been a piece of shit lately, you know, how much honor is there? But still, you got to do it. You got to do it right. We are supposed to be a civilized society.
And again, that's what sucks with this whole particular situation is because normally I sit here and I go, look, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just here. And now it's like, whatever I say, well, it must be shaded and colored by these feelings and da da da.
I mean, that it shades and colors my feelings. I've liked Colby in the past, but man, the shit that he came at you for no particular reason made me really just like, God damn, dude, what is your problem? And you have me over here sitting like, man, I wish fucking Jorge would have punched him a little harder. And that's strictly all because of him acting like a fucking jackass lately. I actually liked Colby.
I did too.
I liked Colby before all that stupid bullshit, you know? And then now just recently just seeing that and him just act like a complete jackass. I'm like, I have no fucking cares about this dude anymore.
I don't
care to fucking interview him anymore. I don't care to whatever, but we have to. But then I'm like, I'm never going to fucking ask this dude a question. I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
And if that meant that we never got a video about him again, you know what? Our site will live on. It would be fine without it, you know?
By the way, I did text him to see if we could talk, and he didn't hit me back.
Fuck him, dude.
He didn't hit me back.
You know, whatever. You want to stay a character, just be your character and do whatever, dude. Have a good life. Who fucking cares?
All right, the last one about these weird situations lately, Chael Sonnen.
You know, I don't know too much about the story, because I was so, like, out of things. But, I mean, Chael does some weird fucking shit sometimes. Like, he's another guy that I don't know what his extracurricular activities are.
Doesn't drink. I know for a fact. Look, dude, I've sat there and I've been around.
I thought that's the case. But who just does this? Unless you got some serious crazy anger issues or something.
I think... Just guessing. I don't know. I'm thinking like some kind of weird ambient sleep thing, whatever. Like this is the only thing I can say about this. And you're right. I don't know any of the details of it outside of the police report of what I read. But I'm telling you right now, all I can say is this is the most out of character. Unless look, maybe he had one day and just snapped. I don't know. But I guess my only thing is, and like you said, you don't know a whole lot about it, so I won't even necessarily ask you to weigh in. But I guess the thing that stands out to me, because I've had a couple people ask me, like, hey, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? All I can say is this is literally the most out of character incident that I've ever heard of in my life. You know what I mean? Like, normally something happens. And you hear a headline or you hear a story and you go like, oh, yeah, I can see that happening. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, that's unfortunate, but like, yeah. I mean, and again, I don't want to compare it to the Kane situation. But again, remember when you heard that like Kane shot somebody and was like being charged with attempted murder? Weren't you immediately like, nah.
Yeah.
Nah, there's more
to this. It's got to be somebody else.
There's more to this. Well, not even that it has to be, but like, there's more to this story. Like, I know Kane ain't out there, like, running the streets trying to regulate. You know what I mean? And I guess, and again,
So you're waiting for the story that comes out that this family is actually the leaders of a drug ring that actually supplies drugs to young school kids after they smuggle them away from their families another country.
These were the people that only allowed the twins in Westland, Oregon to have one BMW that they had to split. And so, you know, he had to regulate it. No, listen. Again, and this is another situation where, look, clearly Chael was in the wrong here. Clearly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, ain't nobody trying to jump in and be like, well, the optics of – no. Chael is clearly the wrong. But all I can say to you is I have never – knowing Chael as long as I have and being around him, all I can tell you is this is incredibly out of character. So, again – he's 100% wrong. I mean, the details are there. Like, he's, I'm sure there's going to be either some legal ramification or maybe some civil ramifications where he's going to have to have some, some settlements.
Be both.
But I will say there's something there's more to the story that we don't have yet. It's not, again, Chael does not drink. Like, literally, Chael doesn't drink. So it's not that, like, oh, Chael was drunk and went on drugs. Because that's what it sounds like, right? It's some kind of drunken rampage or whatever, you know? He doesn't. So it's either a mental health thing, a weird drug thing, of which I don't think he really he's not like a drugs of abuse guy. Like, he's not out here like snorting rails or you know, he's not out here hitting up Matt Brown for a bag or something, you know. But but I mean, but we know he's done testosterone and steroids, and you know, he's been open with that. So it could have been something like that where he had some kind of chemical reaction or imbalance. But I would just say, I guess, stay tuned. I don't think it's – there's something – again, there's something more to this story, and it's not Chael lost his temper and just started talking shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's – you. I think for this – I mean, there has to be some sort of clarification because, yeah, I mean, at this point, it's so easy to speculate and do something else. But knowing him, like you said, knowing him and knowing that he doesn't do a lot of those things, it seems so out of a character. And the mental thing could be it. I mean, you know,
could be
maybe we could find out. Remember, who was it that just recently fought? Was dealing with something, hadn't slept for like eight days
down at Eagle FC.
8 days, and then end up attacking his sisters.
Yep.
Was charged with attempted murder, and then
Irwin Rivera, by the way, is the name.
Yeah, and they were like, he was like. Literally, there. Even the family, like, there was something that just happened.
He stabbed his own sisters, and the sisters were like, "This is not our brother."
Yeah,
there was no drugs at all.
There was no drugs at all,
and we were like, "This isn't our guy."
But something mental came out after sleep deprivation or whatever, mm-hmm. you know. So there's a case of somebody completely doing a horrendous act with no drugs or alcohol involved at all. So. I'm interested to see what possibly could be the story. But, yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of questions because, I mean, if you take him on face value from his previous, like, the way he's lived, it's hard to point and say, oh, well, he was on a bender and he lost his mind or whatever. And it seemed like the people were completely random, other people that had no involvement with whatever.
Whatsoever.
So,
like, one dude just tucked his head out the door and got punched in the face.
So, it's not like they were, like, talking shit or whatever. It does sort of seem like his head was – elsewhere, but you know,
and look, I'm not Chael's not like my buddy or my friend. Like, I'm not out here like trying to defend him, but I'm just saying, like, I have spent a lot of time with him both in his career and post career. Like, I've been around him. Like, it is literally the most out of character.
It's so out of character that there's probably something else more serious.
Yeah,
you know, like there was probably a mental breakdown, and that's the kind of stuff that. You know, you would hope there would be some leniency. If that is the case, that there would be some leniency for the judges, but that's not going to help in a civil case.
Civilly, you're still going to have to pay out,
yeah,
right?
You're still going to have to pay out, which is fair, dude.
Which is
right? You know, like, nobody wants to be out here in Vegas enjoying a good time, and all of a sudden they're attacked by somebody by no means, let alone a very good attack.
That's what I was
going
to say. Not only attacked by someone, but attacked by someone who was a trained killer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, absolutely. Like,
Well, I hope they get the bomb, because, yeah, I mean, like, as much as Chael has been, you know, is like this character that is just sort of like a lightning pole to kind of fire people off, ultimately he's usually pretty damn good and he's a nice person. He's always been super, super nice and like a fun guy to be around. I know the heel character and this, you know, this character sometime he plays can maybe trigger people the wrong way, but that's not how he is, you know, typically. I know. I feel like recently, I felt like his he's went hard on his character lately. You know, jumping on people, but I don't think this was just a final break of that character going further. It does definitely feel like something else more serious. Like this, I actually feel sympathy towards the. Well, not that I don't feel sympathy towards like Kane. We talk about. I don't feel any sympathy. I mean, I'm not sad about Jorge and Colby's because. They both kind of knew what they were getting
into.
Yeah,
that was going to happen.
This does, like you said, feel so out of character. I do actually feel sympathetic wondering what the hell's going on with Chael, you know, for this sort of thing to happen because it's so out of character. If it comes out and he's just like, dude, I was fucking whatever, and I was on – and if he does say, like, oh, dude, I was on Ambien and – because we've seen people. I've seen people, a guy I know that was on Ambien, stood up on a flight. You know, he fell asleep. He stood up on the flight, and they're yelling him to sit down, and he didn't know where he was at. And then, like, I thought, like, it was like an active, like, flight, and they're like, sir, sit down. And he was, like, trying to get up in the bin, and he has no memory at all of, like, this minutes-long argument and yelling that was happening on a plane. So that's just real, man. That shit. I mean, if that's the case, you know, I feel bad for jail, but I'm like, God damn. And then you need to look at the fucking people that make that drug or stuff like that. I'm like, what is your fucking drug really doing to people to allow that to happen? But, you know, if it's something that he took and he just lost his mind, I would be less sympathetic. But if it's something else that it was like a mental break, whether it be temporary or not, or if there are other issues that maybe he's been dealing with that we didn't know about that finally bubbled. Like, you know, with the gentleman that you remember you mentioned before, Rivera, but they labeled him as, like, bipolar or something, or schizophrenic or something like that. That's real shit, you know? Like, that's real stuff. If there's something going under that we don't know about, I would be sympathetic to that, you know? If it comes out, in fact, that he was on drugs or whatever, I would have no sympathy about that. Then he deserves whatever he gets, you know? That shit sucks. But it's so crazy. That's super, super out of character. But...
What a world we live in right
now.
It is
fucking crazy, though. I remember seeing that, and I was like, I remember seeing Chael thing pop up in my headline. I was like, what Chael? I was like, I'll read that later. Now as I'm reading, I'm like, holy fuck.
So bizarre, man. So bizarre.
That's why, see, just stay home, people.
Just
stay home. You don't do anything.
Too late, Matt Brown. Too late, cold coffee. Just.
Even Matt Brown's more out about than I am.
Just stay home.
Just stay home.
Well, listen, man, it's been good to hang out again. And, again, it's nice that we have the ability to do, like, remote episodes and that sort of stuff, but there's nothing better than
it's so much better this way, and it sounds better, and there's not, like, weird delays and different audios and other little weird shit. And you give me a reason to drink. I don't drink here by myself.
Don't tell anybody about the shortcomings. we crush it. It's amazing.
It's amazing. But it's so much fun. Like, I don't really even drink at my house by myself. Like, I drink here now when you come over.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, of course you don't. It's so funny. When I was watching you all, like, and I'm so thankful that you pitched in to help, like, take care of the animals. Funny, I had that bottle of wine sitting here on the table. I ended up using it in a sauce the other day when I cooked in the kitchen. But it's like, I just don't really drink. That bottle of wine probably would have sat there for another fucking week or two. Like, shit just sits. I don't drink by myself as much as I used to when I was younger.
Yeah.
This gives me a reason to drink when I'm here.
Well, that's why I'm here.
You're like, just you doing know me a favor.
That thing about it, you know the thing I love about John? He gave me a reason to drink. Well, that's what they'll say. That's what they'll say at my funeral one day. They'll be like, oh, John Morgan was a good man.
He was an enabler.
He gave me an excuse to get it hammered, and everybody knew it wasn't my fault. It was John Morgan's fault. John Morgan was here. What the hell did you think was going to happen? He showed up. You know what's going to happen?
That's it. It was on site.
He said it was on site. He delivered it on site.
I said, John, when I see you next on site, we're going to drink. And then it was on site.
Everybody knows. All right, listen. Make sure you rate, review us, subscribe, all that good stuff. Patreon.com/Stanley Road Show. We'd appreciate that as well. Do whatever you can. But whatever.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.